Now, we take you back to the night of June 8th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Just before we take off on the Shadow People, which is coming up, there's something I've been wanting to say, so I'll say it now, because I'm going to make Ed do a plug for his product. You all should know, well, whether you believe it or not, what I'm about to tell you is the dead center truth. And that is, when we have guests on the show, which we do on a frequent basis, you know, people who have written books or people who have products for sale, as is the case with Ed, and he's got a wonderful new remote viewing product, you all should know that neither my network nor myself ever get one penny from it. Nor any penny from anything that's sold here other than what's advertised on the program on our own behalf. Otherwise, whenever any guests come on, we, as a consideration for their valuable presentation here on the air, allow them to advertise whatever it is they have, be that a book, a videotape, a remote viewing project, whatever it might be. So no, that's true. People have wondered about that for years. Well, Bell must be getting rich off those books or those remote viewing products or whatever. Wrong. Absolutely, totally, 100% of the time, wrong. So, with that in mind, Ed does have a wonderful product. If you're curious about your remote viewing skills or those of your children, but I think mostly yourself, you're really going to love this. You're just going to love it. I think it's the best product he's had out yet. Ed, what's it called?
Called Mind Dazzle, Art. Yep.
It is.
It's a remote viewing training kit. It's a result of 20 years of my experience and all of the knowledge that we had as a military team piled into the most beautiful work of art that you've ever seen. And it is a remote viewing as a hobby. If you want to learn it as a profession, you go to the TRV Institute. But if you want to do this as a hobby and have a load of fun and prove to yourself that there's a whole universe inside of you, then buy Mind Dazzle, the remote viewing training kit.
What's in Mind Dazzle, Ed? Tell them what's in it.
There is what is most important in Mind Dazzle, other than the fact that it's a work of art by an award-winning designer.
It is.
Ben Lazzardi. He's a master craftsman. It is a very terse, elegant protocol, a set of instructions that allows you, within 3 minutes of time, to be a remote viewer. 3 minutes to describe one of 180 sealed, hand-sealed, in black envelopes, photographic targets. And that's what's in this box.
So in other
along
words,
with instructions
you, on how to do it. So in other words, you take out one of the envelopes, that is your target, and you can actually test your ability quite readily and continue to do it and try to improve it with Mind Dazzle, right?
That's right. You put it in this beautiful little holder, and you start the timer, and it's all in this elegant black, so you don't have anything bright in front of you to interfere with bright colors, and off you go. And in 3 minutes, we teach you using this a very special, very patented way of exploring your own conscious awareness, how to lock on to a target that's described by one of these 180 sealed envelopes. There's no way you can see through this opaque envelope, and we teach you how to truly remote view, and it is fun.
All right.
How much
is Mind Dazzle?
$89.95 plus shipping.
$89.95, well within everybody's reach. And where, pray tell, can they get Mind Dazzle?
You can go to the Mind Dazzle training website via Art Bell's website and for more information and see what it looks like. Take a look at the pieces.
Yeah, we've got a link up there right now.
Yeah, that's MindDazzleTraining.com. Or you can go to my technical remote viewing training site, and that's remoteviewing.la.
Remoteviewing.la, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Ed, hold on for a moment. Let me just briefly set this up, painful as it may be for some. Shadow people are what people are calling these things that they used to see out of the corner of their eye, their peripheral vision. You know, every now and then I think we've all experienced that, where you see a movement in your peripheral vision, you go, kind of turn around, what was that? Well, I began getting calls from people who were seeing these things, and then I began to get calls from people who were seeing them full on, not just the little peripheral vision movement, but seeing them full on. These dark, forms that resemble humans to a degree have a hominoid-like shape, sort of, kind of, in some cases, and resemble other things at other times. But the fact of the matter is, I began receiving, oh God, thousands and thousands now, countless, maybe 10,000 by now, emails from people who have seen these creatures full on. The latest installment, and it's pretty wild stuff, is on my website right now. And if you have not yet seen it, you're welcome to take a look. It involves a young lady named Amy, who called my program and said, Art, I sent you a picture of my 11-year-old son with a shadow person on him. Now, we have, by the way, so that you might know, we noticed that Amy on her website smudged out her son's face a little bit. So without her even asking us to do so, because she did send me the email and told me on the air to go ahead and post it, we put it up originally, but we have now smudged out his face a little bit. We did that just for his own protection. She writes, my name is Amy. I have an 11-year-old son. He tells me he sees things at night, sometimes during the day. He has many problems that just seem to be getting worse. He sees a psychiatrist and is on 5 different medications that do not seem to be working. The doctor thinks he has schizophrenia. I'm beginning to think that he is not hallucinating, but really seeing things that really are there. I took this picture of him about 2 weeks ago. I see a skeleton laying on top of him, with a hand reaching out to his face. Look at the picture sideways. This is the 4th picture in a series of 4. You can go to my website, and we've got a link there, and see all 4 pictures. And this creature appears in the series of pictures to be crawling up his body. It is bone-chilling. She continues, I'm very worried about him, and I'm disturbed with what I captured on film. I also showed my son your shadow people pictures. These are pictures that people drew of what they saw. And he picked out about 4 pictures that he says he has seen. Any information or any help would be greatly appreciated. I'll be listening to your show tonight. Thank you, Amy. She provides this picture of her son lying on the bed at a very odd angle with his head hanging off the bed on a pillow. You know the way some young people sleep is pretty strange. And oh my God, there is this thing crawling up his body. I just wanted you to know the little smudging we did on his face, we did actually at my request after I found out she had done it on her website, even though she was not asking us to do it. Obviously, we've got the big exposure, so at my request, we went ahead and smudged his face a little bit, which otherwise was clear. It's not relevant to what's on his body. And that, my friend, is bone chilling. It may or may not be one of what we call the shadow people. All I know is we have stumbled into something gigantic. Some have said, oh, Art, mass hysteria of your audience. I don't think so. And so I asked Major Ed Dames to take a look at the whole shadow people thing. And with that set up, so you now know, here is Ed once again. Ed, so how'd you go about this?
Well, I feel pretty trained, like I'm almost a shadow of my former self. But I went about it by I received many letters that you shunted my way to the Technical Remote Viewing Institute. Many of your listeners sent letters my way and asked me to look at each of these sundry and varied experiences that they described. I sorted through those and I took a cross section, and I sorted through the cross section. I selected out several different instances and used those as remote viewing targets and set the targets up in a very technical way that I don't want to go into at this moment. I do want to make a distinction though between there is something that you and others are seeing and have photographed in terms of the shadow form. I'm going to talk about that momentarily and what causes it. That was a very difficult target, but we got that.
Why was it difficult, or is that something you want to cover later?
It is difficult because as a remote viewer, it requires many years of experience to be able to discern what is happening in terms of this paranormal experience, that they, because it doesn't meet the norms for what remote viewers are trained to do. Remote viewers are trained to accurately, in great detail, describe a remote target, whether it's a technical thing or a pyramid or something like that.
Sure.
Physical thing.
Sure.
When it comes down to these transient phenomena that are outside the bandwidth of normal operating vision or bicameral brain processing, that is a very difficult thing to do, and one must have experience with paranormal things to begin with in order to have a basket full, a toolbox of labels
mm-hmm.
and concepts
again,
with which to handle this.
Again, some kind of frame of reference.
Some kind of frame of reference. And people who have not experienced these kinds of things and not worked against them do not have that frame of reference. So having said that, let me make a distinction here between two, before I talk about your shadow people, okay? That's Trevor, the photo that you have on your website of this child.
Yes.
11-year-old boy. That is not a shadow person on him.
What is it?
That is a poltergeist.
Oh, my.
Now, a poltergeist is this. The classic poltergeist art is a prepubescent child, 11, 12, 13.
Right.
If you want to guarantee poltergeist activity where you'll see a tremendous amount of energy that is projected out from the child, then that child would be a 13-year-old epileptic girl who is undergoing a seizure. At that moment, there is a tremendous amount of energy, and this is recorded and documented by people in paranormal.
That
amount of energy is tremendous, and you can actually see a black form. It takes in the eye, visually, humans can pick up a black form, and this is a poltergeist. This is energy, so to speak, and I won't go into all the details in parapsychology. This is energy that belongs to that child. It's an extension of themselves.
You're saying this energy that we see is actually coming from the mind of this child?
No, it's coming from the body of the child, Art, not the mind. It's part of the body of the child, and it's extension of that child's energy. Very apparent when you have a schizophrenic person, a child particularly, the poltergeist activity is very apparent in prepubescent and pubescent children.
Wow.
Especially epileptics.
I'd never considered that as my.
And in Trevor's case, if he could get off of the drugs, that would be helpful. But if he's still undergoing schizophrenia, you're still going to have poltergeist activity up until the time he's about 14 years old. Then it will go away.
Whew.
And that's what happens.
Well, I can tell you that most people that have responded to me about this have said totally creeps them out. I mean, you look at this picture and you go, whoo, like that.
Yeah, it's not... It is paranormal, for lack of a better word, and it is creepy. But it is an extension of ourselves in abnormal circumstances. It is not normal.
Mm.
Okay. To a certain degree, all children pass through this phase, and there is an extension of this sexual energy and the psyche, and it's projected outward. But in the case where people have wiring problems, schizophrenia,
sure.
epilepsy, it is greatly amplified, and you will actually see a black fuzzy ball projected outward from the person.
Ed,
and it can be photographed.
Can I ask you anything about the nature of this projection or this poltergeist? In other words, can something like this actually harm a child, or will, since the child is in effect projecting the energy that allows it, would it? I'm not even sure of what I'm asking, Ed. I guess I'm asking if it can be dangerous in any way.
No, it doesn't have a mind of its own. It's just energy. It can be dangerous only to the extent that, in certain cases, I mean, knives and forks and spoons have flown across the room.
Right.
Because the energy has lifted it up.
That's right.
It may have a magnetic component that we don't understand. I certainly don't understand it. But I know what its origin is and its source.
All right, whatever it is, and you have described what it is, this poltergeist on Trevor is not a shadow person.
It is not. I'm going to talk to you about shadow people.
How long a project is it
to sit down and look at something as tough, and you told me privately on the phone before the program that the Shadow People was a really rough project. How long a project is it until you're comfortable that you've got the real answer?
Well, I'll give you an example. The underwater images that we determined was physical artificial structures off the coast of Cuba underwater.
Right.
That's a matter of 40 minutes. In 40 minutes, that's a very simple target, 40 minutes. The cause of an airline crash.
Yeah, I suppose it's
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay, well, it's the underwater city thing is a classic RV target. So easiest of the bunch, huh?
Yes.
A real thing. You're trying to imagine. God, you're trying to
perceive,
duplicate on paper what really is down there. But it's a real thing, just like you're looking for a gas canister, which you did in the military for in Iraq. It's a real thing. So piece of cake compared to
this one. In fact, one could not even tackle this. Even as a you would have to be. An actual technical remote teacher, go all the way through the Institute's courses in order to handle something like this. It is not easy. It's not a beginning technical remote viewing project like the underwater structures are. They're very easy to do.
Now, on more difficult projects, Ed, do you use others as well as yourself, or is it a solo effort?
No, I have to in most cases, unless we're dealing with paranormal types of things where There's very few people out there that have that kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there, either I have to do it myself, or I must be in a room with someone while they're working blind in order to see what's going on. In this case, I have to admit I worked it myself for over a six-day period.
6 days?
6 days at an hour and a half a day.
Huh. How... Maybe we'll find out after we find out what they are, but I'm wondering how that progresses. An hour and a half on day one, and you've come how far?
I'll tell you what it's like, Art. It's
yeah.
like working, think about working, did you ever take a college math course?
Sure.
Okay, think about working a calculus problem, where you sit down and it's just a pain in the neck. And you sit down one night with a cup of coffee, and you can't make heads or tails. You sit down the next night, you do it again, and you do it again.
That's about right.
The fourth or fifth day, you finally start to get it, and then the sixth day, it pops in.
It's just like that.
The more time you spend and the more effort that's applied, it pays off. But you have to have the fundamental understanding about what you're doing.
Is it at a linear chain? In other words, where the work you did on the first day is a little piece of the puzzle, and then the second day is more of a piece of the puzzle, until finally it clicks all together at the end,
Yes, generally speaking, it's like that. It overlays one piece on top of the other until the pattern emerges. It's unlike our normal types of targets that we teach. Other normal types of targets are cut and dried. The pieces just fit together immediately as they become apparent. But in this case, it's a very difficult problem.
All right. When we get back, which will be in a moment, we really will get to the Shadow People, but I guess we did have to delineate between the picture of Trevor, as unsettling as it is, and Shadow People, which are yet to come. Hey, Randy. Randy. Somebody emailed Randy and said, tell him I said he's chicken. We'll be right back, and when we are, it's the Shadow People.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 8th, 2001.